down. Yeah, that's pre-cast concrete, isn't it?
That's just 6 miles.
16. What, it was 6 or 16?
16 miles.
Let's see, are we on South Fork now?
Yeah, Charlie.
Watch that dang truck lay right across that center line. Most sons of guns know they got everybody bluffed off. State cop, I would be the meanest one alive with those damn trucks.
Yeah, that was the same, they're
just gradually breaking out of the big hills into the, the flatter ground. How far was it from Richmond to Harlan?
150 miles
roughly, isn't it? Yeah.
150 miles, I believe.
And I bet he had to stop every 2 miles. And a stick shifts too. That would wear a man out at the end of the day. You know, he'd stop here and pick somebody up, stop two miles down, and let somebody off. And
he didn't care.
Oh, we've seen more pretty water. There's water coming out of the hill too. Just Hoskins Grocery, stereo tapes, wholesale retail stuff.
They're gonna have to find a nice time without the end.
Nell makes the best tater soup. She puts a little bit of onion and a little bit of bacon in it. Fried bacon. You put bacon, little slices of pieces of fried bacon in your onion soup, I may.
And Jeremy seems
to put
both.
Well, she puts onions, fries up, cuts bacon with scissors or a knife in a little square, a whole quarter inch square, fries it. Puts that in, and man, that makes it good. Onions helps almost anything. I don't know anything that onions don't help the flavor of. These people who come out of Europe come out of the type setup where actually the animals, you know, and their barn and house was one building, wasn't it? Like in France. And then people who've been in Scandinavia tell me that they'll have the cows sometimes right in the house with them in the bad weather. So I guess a lot of these people come out with the idea, with that same way of living, and I guess it's kind of hard to break. It sure was convenient. Step in the next room and milk a cow. Uncle Tom, why did Dad feed hogs coal occasionally? Worming?
That's what they claim, it being cold, I mean, they chew it up, you know.
That was the first time I saw that. I was a little bitty boy, and my dad had took a bucket of coal down there and put in. And those hogs would grab that coal, eat the coal, just block through it, block those babies you pissed. The hog would just chump that up just like an apple.
We never did do it that way. We never heard of coal.
And they'd crunch that stuff, you'd hear that, just like eating a good sound ear of corn, you know, just crunch right on down, nothing to it. Didn't faze them at all, and they loved it. I wondered if the sulfur in the coal maybe had some action on their GI tract. Or
did you ever see an old sow or a hog get the shoulder or whatever, and root whatever? Wrinkles, you call them?
No.
Well, they'll just about bury themselves in that water.
For mussels or snails or whatever?
That's it. They get out of water, but it is about down here. We're on that 13.
Yeah, I'm just trying to say it.
Yeah.
This is your hill.
Food,
huh?
Oh,
you can
hear my
popping
and cracking.
They'll
eat the meat.
Shove
the hull in.
That pine over there is dead. Yeah.
back here now.
Yep. Turned him. Shift him up and gonna let him roll now for a while. I wonder how many pounds per square inch pressure those tires have on the way he's distributed that load. It's not a tremendous pressure like one set of tires would be. That can turn. Where's he taking that to the railroad at Manchester?
Right here about the railroad.
Loaded?
Yeah, I didn't take that.
Is there a railroad at Manchester?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You ever chew tobacco?
Yeah.
For a long period of time or just for?
Yeah, that's fun. Go try it. Good fun.
You still got your teeth, haven't you? You think tobacco might have helped you? Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah, you do. A lot of dentists will tell you that tobacco chewers generally have better teeth than other people.
Did you like chewing at the time?
Huh?
Did you like chewing?
Yeah,
well, first time, only time I ever tried to chew, I got so damn dizzy. You bite in that and chew about a minute or two, stood it. My God, you get so swim-headed you can't stay up.
Get sick.
Yeah, awful.
I got so sick I blew my guts out. First time ever I took a chew. Oh, I guess that's the same right here. Tom Wilson, Chester Wilson, several of us. The other way, the first name of the year, and he's born in Seattle. Tom had some all good homemade. He got to cure our family. I believe Chester did.
Just a nicotine effect?
I reckon it's nicotine, but oh Lord.
They've got so now they put so much dang stuff on the back.
They put sugar and syrup and flavor.
Homemade tobacco. Raised tobacco. They put so much to keep the bugs and the worms and things on them. Well, they better not send you a card. I want to know what you put on your tobacco and there's certain things you put on there on the desk.
Smart Alec, I tell you. This is really brilliant driving, you smart Alec.
He's in a hurry.
He snuggled up close to that coal truck and could have watched those two mash into each other.
It would have been fun, see? You won't even bother looking to see what's ahead.
Come on.
cabbage with them. I'll raise a cabbage. You'll come up and have a cabbage. Yeah. Hey, may you ever raise red cabbage? It's awful good. Regular cabbage, boiled, cooked real good. With vinegar, ain't much better than that. But then the red cabbage was sweet and sour. At the hospital there, they cook red cabbage, sweet and sour. You know, I guess a little sugar, a little vinegar, whatever it is takes to flavor it. Man, that's as good as anything, and no calories. I eat lunch there when I eat lunch.
What did it charge you there?
Oh hell, you can found her for 50 cents. You can eat a piece of steak and potatoes and a drink and bread and pie and all for 175 cents. Yeah, that's the one thing. They kind of subsidize their labor by letting them eat real cheap. He's sick me around, but I don't want to race with a truck coming on, man.
She used to enjoy recess Uncle Tom.
I bet that was his favorite subject, was recess. Dad still had them in the store when I was little Uncle Tom, and slate pencils.
We had like the lead pencils, you know.
Yeah.
I sent the paper mail boy and got the order to them. And then started those things. Then they would get out of school last dinner and recess. And then go in and I'd have a pencil store. And I'd spend them, but I sold them. And then I'd have them.
They'd stay in a recess and take your stuff.
Yeah, I was the teacher. I'd make them get out.
Was paper expensive or hard to get a hold of, Uncle Tom? Or, was paper expensive or hard to get a hold of? Or why did they use... Why did they use the slate? I wonder instead.
Chewing tobacco at that time?
And then that,
Yeah, that's been a real mess. There's some flooding over there.
Yeah. And then that, chewing tobacco, getting on the plate. I had a double slate plant in my hand.
Double
slate? I can't tell you what I done with that slate. I may have a double slate. She went to school to Hampton Minter on the old Haven plant.
Was he a Civil War officer, Hampton?
Oh, hell no. He crippled. He's dead. He's body cold. So, starting out the fiction, he caught her at it. Made her sit in the corner and cry.
I can remember one. Aunt May has drawn a picture of her teacher, huh?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Godzilla meets the gorilla.
Meets the ape man or something. I'm telling you the truth, these people, those truck drivers are absolutely crazy.
Yeah, they see who can be the hauling loads, you know. Who can haul the most loads. Well, they used way back in our Denman Road truck, you know, for a bit, it's about flat over.
Denman haul coal for a while?
They wouldn't be going to take aid from me.
Why not, Uncle Tom?
I was lazy.
You weren't lazy at all. You just...
I was lazy.
You just trying to invent yourself.
I was lazy. bred and born then, anybody. My dad's lazy.
Somebody told him.
Was Paul Myers lazy?
Damn right.
I never did know. I know mother had a lot of get up and zip buns.
Got that mom.
Damn, and I didn't know. I kind of gather the way you talk that you and your dad maybe didn't get along too well sometimes on the phone. None of my business, but just listening to you, I just sort of get the impression maybe you and Stuart didn't always see eye to eye, huh?
You know, I mean, we don't do damn much. And I object to tell you the truth about it. Well, he's come, somebody come in on him on a bunch, you know, and he's come on all of some of us kids to come to the door and wait on
him. I'm more likely to wait on my boys and ask them to do something for me, because I can do it while I'm thinking about it.
Water, he would not take a bucket of water to the store. He'd on it, bring me a drink of water.
Stuart Myers.
Stuart Myers, that was his dad. Why did they call him Stuart?
Isaac
Anderson.
A nickname
this was his nickname for his family. His mother was a Stewart, see?
Yeah. Who am I? I'm named for her then?
Yeah, her name is Stewart, Lucy Stewart.
Yeah, always honored for water.
Sign said, do not pass, idiot, but I tell you that I guess these trucks drive.
Yeah, you know, one time he won't
now, look for a place
grand
to
here, you know. He went to town and hitched his own right in front of the grand jury room and come back home and said he forgot to get it. I went down there. My own dried up in front of the grand jury and got my own. They didn't see me though. Well, I got back home that night and killed him.
They wanted to get you in front of the grand jury.
Yeah.
What for?
Big drunk.
Hey, May, was this before you met him, I hope?
Yeah.
Custom old boy,
hand
in with
us. Boy, they're working here.
This drink was very little. Very few
times. Now look for a place along here to eat, Stuart. Boy.
And one time he come from town on his horse.
Manchester, this is way
no way. No,
wait a minute now.
All right.
Well, I was just going to.
You're right.
You want something to drink on the phone?
Let's get a sandwich or something to eat, maybe. What do you say?
Let's wait and go to the house and get something.
No, I'll tell you, maybe we can get it quicker here. Let's go in and see if we can get something. And then, because we're going to have to make time. Then you'd add a little more soap and cook it till it wouldn't dissolve the end of a feather, and then you, after it got done cooking, you let it cool?
Yes.
And then next morning.
Just used to take an old chicken feather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wing feather. Yeah, chicken wing.
Tail feather.
Just swish it through the soap 14 times?
Yeah, I think it's 14 times. That was just when it was wrapping. We'd cut it off at 14.
That ought to be getting that high on the barrel.
Run
her finger through it.
I've seen mother taste it.
She tasted to see how strong it was?
Yeah. Here we come into the gun. See any grill?
Boy, county here that thought 50 years ago they never seen anything like this, they'd never believe it, would they?
Well, that's the way you did my lines.
They would not believe it.
Is there any special kind of ashes that made better alive? And
yes, wood ashes.
Wood ashes.
But any special
hickory wood ashes? They made the best alive.
Yes.
Uncle Tom, you said sometimes they just put it in a hollow stump?
Well, I think, you know, the saplings will get hard. Says sour wood, they're pretty bad for that. You're just going to cut the meat you want, something like that. You stuff the top out down to the holler, and that makes the trouble to put your boards in, you know. You make
see.
It this way.
Right.
How wide is the top and hard
the
bottom?
The bottom.
It didn't have the barrel. Most of the time, Ma had a barrel to put hers in.
My mother always had the...
Well, they didn't have the barrel.
We didn't have the barrel, so Daddy always made the board.
See, they'd put them ashes in there all winter now.
And
keep
them
dry. Keep them dry.
Just keep the same ashes all the time.
Yeah, keep them dry.
Just keep adding to it.
Keep adding to it all winter.
She didn't have the place like Elsa had to get her ashes. She had just cook stove most of the time. All the time, but
she had firewood.
Firewood. Greenwood makes the strongest ashes.
Greenwood?
Yeah.
Green hickory, probably?
Hickory.
Well, greenwood.
Burn a lot of hickory.
I reckon they prefer hickory. But,
and then they brought potash out in the store, and she didn't mix that.
Yeah. Come in a bowl, a little round bowl. A lot of times, the damn thing would be busted, wrapped in a paper. And every time Tom was around, Tom had to reach down that sawdust by hell and get them balls. Regardless of how bad this bust was, the old man would test his for carrying them down there. And he'd come up out, he'd go out about the house. Of course, Tom had it to do soap and so on, just the same. Hey!
How often did you make soap, Aunt May?
Spring year.
Once a year?
Spring.
Try to make enough to last the whole year?
How many pounds of soap would that be?
It'd dry out, you know, but it'd dry out and get hard.
Did you make it a big tub or a big pan?
I put it in a big kettle. Black pans are hanging up there.
Big black kettles.
Yeah. Well, you save just all your fat scraps.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Fat and hard.
The skin. Fried meat grease that you didn't use, you say they were. And your cracklings, if you didn't make them into bread.
How'd you make cracklings? Yeah.
You kill your hogs and trim your meat, the fat off. You want to get about all the fat you can get off. And you cut it up little chunks. And you put it in that stone there, that big iron kettle. And render it.
Cook
it right
out.
And then dry. Then put it in a cloth and let the fat drain out.
Yeah, I see. Just
and
keep
then what's left is cracklings. This is mainly skin and so forth and the dried part. You buy these little packages of this. They call them.
That store with cracklings.
Yeah, you buy cracklings.
Yeah, and those 17 bags.
Yeah.
Is that for the candy and popcorn?
Then you just mix it in your cornbread. And bake it out in the cornbread, and ain't nothing in the world better than
that. I
love it. Mother used to
make the cornbread, I'll just add some crackers.
Mother used to make it all the time, and damn it was good.
I didn't care about it. Too rich. I eat a little of it, but it's there in the
back. Uncle Tom, I just wonder, from the way you talk, if maybe you had golf. How old were you when you got typhoid? I have a sneaking idea in the back of my mind that you had gallbladder disease, maybe gallstones, following that typhoid.
I didn't have no stones.
Well,
I had the gallbladder trouble, all right.
Because, first place is, if a lot of people are carriers of typhoid, have to get over because it stays in the gallbladder. A lot of them apparently have a lot of gallbladder disease from it, but the way you're talking about this being too rich, and apples, you know, upsets you and so forth,
apples didn't upset me ever before I had my bladder cut out. Since then, the apples.
Oh, well, I thought that was a history.
Like castor oil.
That's a pretty good history for gallbladder disease with the.
I could eat apples, but the I couldn't eat near as many apples as me as Sam Lanham could eat. Sam Lanham could eat by God all night.
I could eat apples all day long.
I can go up from the table and eat an apple.
Yeah, I can too. In fact, as I do frequently.
I love apples all like that, but
I eat them every day.
When we married and I went up there,
boom, constantly.
They'd eat, eat, jump just like a big hog, you know.
We always had plenty of apples.
It filled me up.
How'd you all save your apples, Aunt May?
At the cellar.
Did you keep all winter?
Yes, when we didn't have had more to need in the cellar, your daddy would put them in the ground. Fold them up like potatoes.
Cover them with straw?
Yeah.
Straw and dirt. We live now, Jackson, we used to have them left made.
Yeah, you remember that little apple buying store down there in the garden? She says that's the best apple she ever tasted in her life. And I don't know what foolish people can do. I had any sense of it. These people out home was the drive sets out. All I had done was run one spring here and I got me a big handful of them mortar sprouts on that tree. But it finally died.
We had the same brand of the past, but they wasn't good like that.
That was the best apple I bought ever.
Well, you know, in those days, you never did spray an apple or a fruit tree, did you?
No.
Just wasn't done.
It's a Grimes golden apple, and that's my favorite apple today.
The transpired was a good apple, and the rusted, because I remember were two of them I really liked. The one that had these little rusty spots on it, you know, great big apple.
That's mostly sweet apple, wasn't it?
Yeah, real sweet apple, rusty coated sweet apple. I don't know what you watch.
Transpired was an early apple.
Yeah.
Best pie I've ever eaten.
Ah, that was good. But there's rusted apples there around Boonville, and then the transparent, which was just absolutely the sweetest apple.
I just aren't giving that up on that great wheel.
Oh, yeah. And just to see, Stu, how much you come out of the hills in the last 15 miles out of the steep.
Well, we kill homes tomorrow, or yesterday. We trim the meat. Make our sausage tonight. And we'd have a pat and we started, so we got a poke. We'd cut them. They'd make pokes on them. And poke them, and we liked them better that way. And dry out, you know. Tasted better, wouldn't you, mate?
That's the way we helped Mother do it, you know. We'd grind sausage, and she'd put the sage and everything in, then she'd sew this big long tube and then turn it inside out, Stu, so it would be big around as a sock. No, just a cloth. Just a piece of cotton cloth.
Anything.
And just cut it, 8 or 10 inches wide and sew it along the edge and then just tie one end and you cut off a piece that long, you'd stuff it full of sausage and tie the end and hang them or however long you wanted them.
So, we can get our sausage done tonight, you know. Me and Daisy and Mabel. We'd have sausage right down the bottom there. Oh, come in every now and then. The maid, we'd married, and I had two hogs, killed two hogs. And they had some, you know. And they was working on theirs, me and May was working on ours. We got it. Oh, come in, lay it down. But now she, May quiet.
Is this the Isle of Housa County? Island Creek starts in here too.
Oh, they start throwing it.
Well, they'd hit each other with them sacks.
We'd be setting them down, you know, and that'd be beating them down. You know,
speed it down.
The next morning, Mom put her she wouldn't let me around her, you know. She put her lard on this drink she could get breakfast over with. And she'd sit over there, she'd have a fire and smoke her eyeballs out. I'd pass her every now and then. I'd say, why in the hell don't you put a bar out of that damn stuff and pull it out? She'd talk that ass mage about throwing that foot down. But she's talking that foot may trail. So, about 4 o'clock, she'd get it done, you know.
They didn't want to scorch it or do anything
I went and rendered mine, you know. Well, I put mine on after dinner, and I put the bar to it, and I stirred it. And she'd come out and she'd stomp that big foot. You're going to lose that bar. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I said, I don't give a damn. I don't need to burn myself up with it.
Tom, about 3 o'clock we take ours up. And she'd say, now it ain't cooked enough and it's not bad, you know. And I said, I don't give a damn. I said, really? And it's cooked, yep, this is good, and this is good as large as hers was.
Well, Mother, you know.
Well, now Sam ran and do the very same thing.
Yeah, he'd stare at it all day, too.
Yeah, he'd stare it all day. And right over and up and stare.
Freeze
the day. Had a little short paddle about like that. And I'd get me a big long paddle, you know.
Mother used to run hers out in the oven and the stove. Dad would have a hog killed and the whole damn thing would come, you know, cut it up. Then we'd grind up the sausage. She'd boil the backbones. That is the best damn way. It beats pork chops all to hell, Stuart. You take the back, instead of cutting it up into pork chops, just chop it up into sections about 2 inches long. And just boil them with potatoes and stuff. And then when that's done, sit down, eat the meat out of that, and suck the meat out of that bone. There
ain't
nothing.
That was backbone.
You're damn right that was backbone, man. Hey, what?
I seen her over there sucking that mar out of that darn bone. She sucked a half hour on the damn thing. Yeah. That mar, you know.
Love it. It's just it's the greatest way in the world to serve tenderloin.
We already ever put our tenderloin. I'd split the backbone, but it's easier cooked, better cooked. You can get to it better. Still that big bone.
You got every bite of it out.
You got every bite of it out and you split the backbone.
Yeah.
But I never did care about that bar. But now Lucy, she sure took on that bar for a hair.
Yeah, I did too, when I was little. It's good. One of the best pieces of meat I ever ate in my life was one time when Lester Eversole boiled a ham at home. And Mother just made some hoe cakes, and he took that hot ham out of the water. And I just reached up and pulled off a great big piece of that and wrapped it up in a hoe cake. And to this minute, I think of that as one of absolutely the best pieces of meat.
It's the best piece of meat in my life.
I ever tasted in my life.
You take that couple of the ham and the backbone. Now there's a piece coming out about that long, and it just tapers out. It's nothing or but lean meat. And but it, you can fry it or do anything you want to it. That's the best piece of meat.
No, muscles.
Huh?
Sauce muscle would be the equivalent.
Yeah.
That's
no bad, there's nothing speck of that about it no way. It is about that long, wasn't it, man?
Yeah.
And it's large down here with kind of tapered thin, and you just slice that time or two. If you ever cut up a hole, you'll find it.
That's your favorite piece?
That's my favorite piece. And I like the brains about all.
I never did much like the brains. Mother used to make souse.
I like souse when it's hot.
But you know, souse to me is utterly tasteless.
Oh, I can make this. Hazel, every time we get a hen, we make Hazel sound. She thinks there's nothing on earth like sound.
How do you go about making sound?
Well, I put the head on and cook it until everything drops off. And then I grind that. Some people just take a knife and cut it, they'll get big old hunks, but oh Lord. Big biscuit, my dear. I grind mine, make it good and fine, and all I put to mine is salt and red pepper. And I can take that spoon and
what do you do then? Then it gelatinizes, doesn't it?
Huh?
Then it's the gelatin swithered.
Put it in a bowl or something, other than if you get cake, it's hardly made.
It's got a gelatin like with it,
yeah.
The cookies, too. And that sets, then you can slice it like bologna.
We've got some at home now, say, the freezer. We made it.
Put any flavor in it?
Pepper.
I always said that to me, sauce was always just flat.
I put that red pepper in.
You put that red pepper and salt to it, you make it just hot as you want it. If you like hot stuff, I can pick it first.
That's just the skin of the face.
No, it's the whole head. It's the jaw. It's the tongue in it, too.
No.
You take the tongue out.
Tom loves the tongue like
I love the tongue too. You fry that or boil it?
Take the ears and the whole head then. Just cook it all clear, make cold over. And run it through the salt smell. Now this 40 gallons to burn my face and great big hums. I don't like it.
No, mother always grounded. And,
put that pepper and salt it to taste, you know, you don't salt it to taste. But you put that red pepper to it, buddy. Would you like to have about a pint of it, corn?
I'm not that crazy about it because
maybe Stuart would like
something. Stuart might like to try a piece of it out of curiosity. I don't know what he's ever eaten. Mother made it all every year.
Hazel wants it with cold corn bread. She don't put nothing else but cold corn bread in his house. And Henry found it back. Yes, she wants the onion with it.
Well, now, next time you get a hog's head make sauce, save us a little piece of it.
Well, I've got something stuck out now. I'm trying to tell you.
I'll let Stuart try a bite of it.
All right, yeah. Give you a jar of it. Oh, well, you can make sounds any time of the year if you get a hog pit.
Yeah.
Of course, you'd have to refrigerate it. Now, after you got it.
Well, I can, man. I didn't have to.
What can?
Used to can it?
Still does.
Mother was kind of hard to get to use red pepper for some damn reason.
Who?
She and Mother. Mother, my God, it was hard as hell to get her to salt anything adequately. If anything had a little too much salt in it, she'd just throw it out. And pepper, she would very rarely use red pepper. Now, sage, she made damn good sausage. Nobody ever flavored sausage better than Lucy did. They were good.
Sausage friends might give her that. I just don't like it.
Hey,
going on out there.
Hey, butternut. Ball game.
It's like a big game. School's about out, you know, they were killing time.
That big a load, do you? You don't buy that much here.
That's
Now, hens you bake, boiled or fried. That's just about it, wasn't it? Chicken.
Yeah.
It's about the only way you can cook it. But a dang hog,
there's full of eggs.
100 different ways that you could fix pork.
Yeah. Just keep on fixing.
And one of the things I liked about hog killing time, it seems to me the best liver I ever ate was when fresh the hog liver, just fries it up and slice it up and fry it.
I like for it to be a few days old. I like the sausage to be a few days old.
I did. Used to.
I like liver.
Now, every now and then, once every 2-3 months, when we eat out somewhere, I'll order it.
Liver and I can't eat it. She won't eat it. We'll feed you up the liver.
Use it, and they'll won't cook it.
Well, what the hell you got to do?
Well, when I go out to eat occasionally, I'll order calf's liver or fresh, you know, sliced pork liver.
Be welcome, more than welcome to
it. No, I know that, but I wouldn't take it because we would never use it.
I'm a damn still mind you cook it.
Maybe I'll take my belt out and lash her a little bit. Make your own hominy, Aunt May?
Used to. I didn't make none this last winter.
Mother used to. How did you make it? With lye?
Lye or with soda? Skin it with soda.
You can skin it with soda?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Put soap through wood ashes.
Ask her how. You just take your corn and make a strong solution and soak it. For how long did it take?
Put some bar it begins to slip while you take it to the portion.
Well, how do you keep your hominy then?
I used
no
to can it, but it wasn't in that freezing.
Last we made, we divided with the chick girls and made up that time we got home and spoiled. That's the can. I don't know why. Boy used to make
it
that
was just
big
voice
until about half full.
How often did you make hominy? Did they have to make hominy back in the old days?
I used to make it once a year.
Oh, I used to make it three or four times.
About the first of the year, she'd make some.
Then can enough for usage?
Yeah.
When I was little, Mother served hominy. Hell, we had hominy a couple of times a week, at least canned hominy.
Well, Mom would make an iron kettle about full, all she could make it.
Did the whole kernel soften up, or did
yes,
you like
swells,
the base
yeah.
of it? Like, isn't there a hard
yes.
part there?
Yeah. Oh, that's better spread. Oh, man.
So you got a pile of slabs at the end there, or butt logs, man couldn't get down there.
That
here
was fire.
This tape and the several tapes preceding it were made on a trip through southeast Kentucky with Stuart Garrett, his dad Morris Garrett, and an uncle and great uncle Tom Myers and Aunt May Myers of Pond Creek, Kentucky. I left Fort Thomas, Kentucky on the morning Monday, 15th of May in 1972, driving to Lexington, where I picked up Stuart Garrett, who just finished his freshman year of medical school. Following this, we drove to Pond Creek, Kentucky, in Jackson County, where we had lunch with my uncle Tom Myers and Aunt May Myers. Boy, what a meal she had. She had chuck beans, cornbread, gravy, fried sweet potatoes, fried steak, country style, cornbread. It was in muffins, pone, and cornbread sticks. Buttermilk, garden salad, fresh out with hot onions in it. And what else did you have, Stuart?
Fried steak.
Yeah, we mentioned the fried steak. I forget what else all she had, but it was all topped off with a great big pie. Following this, we got in the car and headed for the southeast part of Kentucky. Our Tom Myers' father, grandfather, my great-grandfather, and Stuart's great-great-grandfather, Isaac Anderson Meyer, was born one of a pair of twins at the mouth of Stinking Creek in Knox County, Kentucky, in the year 1850. And back on these tapes, we have said nothing about this, but we did talk something about the ancestry. We drove down to the mouth of Stinking Creek. A while there, we found that there was a new house on a site of what had been an old log cabin. It's conceivably the site where our grandfather was born in 1850. There was an old cemetery on the point above the mouth of the river, above the mouth of the creek where it runs into the Cumberland River, between the creek and the house. Stu and I went up here. We found graves dating back, in 1864 was the last death there, wasn't it? There were probably between 75 and 100 graves with only, look at their head, that groundhog, Stu. These were A.G. Smith, born 612, born in December 23rd, 1827, and died 6/23/1876, and apparently his wife, Laura Smith, who was born on 2/25/54, I must have been a child then, 54, and was buried in 11/11/57. And as I started to say earlier, there were numerous unmarked graves, maybe between 75 and 100 on this point overlooking the Cumberland River Valley. Following this, we drove into Pineville, Kentucky, where we decided to stay at the Pine Mountain State Park. We had dinner at the park. Following this, we drove into town where Uncle Tom and Aunt May visited Everett York and his wife in Middlesboro, in Pineville, old neighbors who had moved there. And Stu and I went down to visit Marietta and Milton Helton and their family, just talked with them an hour, hour and a half, I guess, back. The following morning, we got up and drove down through Harlan, Benham, country over into Appalachia, Virginia, and back across into Everett's and so forth. Yeah, it's pretty. And then up through the, from Benham into the Little Kingdom, Little Shepherd State Park, and then followed the Little Shepherd Trail north into the town of Whitesburg, where we got rooms at the Suburban Motel and had a bite to eat. Following this, Stu and I left Uncle Tom and Aunt May in Whitesburg and drove down to Kingdom Come on the creek on the west side of the Pine Mountain. We parked our car, talked to some people here, and then walked about three and a half miles across Scuttle Hole Gap Trail, which starts at the foot of the hill at Kingdom Come and goes up and over Pine Mountain. And into Virginia was a trail for, of access for people from the valleys here to get back to Virginia for supplies after moving in. I believe the state marker says that in about 1816, this settlement of Kingdom Come was settled and was named out of the Lord's Prayer here because of the conditions the people found. After we, and here we saw the big new caves, Angel Cave, and so on. I didn't see Angel Cave, but we saw the entrances of what they call Glass Rock Cave and so forth, Hickory Cave and so forth. And the Glass Rock apparently is just mica. A 14-year-old kid with the name of Jimmy McIntosh did the walk with us and was quite an entertaining and interesting youngster. Following this, we drove down to the Lion Fork Creek in Letcher County to visit the home site and the graveyard of the Isom family, I-S-O-N, pronounced Isom by most people, where we saw the graves of Stuart's great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother, Gideon and Rachel Isom. We then had a bite to eat back at Whitesburg, and we talked at some length with Mr. H. Combs, who runs the motel we were staying at, and the night clerk and another old gentleman who guards the place about the caves, which were publicized about 6 months to a year ago in the newspapers over the state as being a great find. These are up in the side of Pine Mountain. We were told that there may be as many as 60 miles of explored cave in the area, and there was some feeling that the federal government might work on this. It was interesting that the boy telling us about it said that there were large deposits of copper ore and some other mineral. He wasn't sure what it was, but it looks like silver in the cave area. Snakes were a topic of conversation on the whole trip. Then during the evening we sat around and talked to Mr. Combs about the Isom family, the Combs family. He had become a Mormon approximately 40 years ago and had run the genealogy of the Combs family down and had sent a copy to the Mormon archives in Salt Lake City. He had found that John Combs, who, as I recall, is the ancestor of our grandfather and his and so forth, was a son of Richard Combs, who left England and came to Jamestown, Virginia, and apparently was the progenitor of the Combs clan, which blankets eastern Kentucky. We got just a lot of little interesting tidbits of local history and conversation about this, that, and the other relating to the area. The following morning, we were up at 6 o'clock, had breakfast at a local restaurant in Whitesburg, and then headed back toward Pine Creek. I wanted Stu to see Leatherwood, and Cutchin. So on the way, we came over to Hazard, the first time I'd been on the new Highway 15, which had just opened apparently recently, from Whitesburg to Hazard. At Hazard, we cut south to Wooten. At Wooten, we turned up Cutchin Creek for approximately 15, 18 miles, seeing the little town of, not the town, the settlement of Cutchin along Cutchin Creek, which was a beautiful big creek, flowing clean and pretty and fast. And then I took them to Leatherwood up in the edge of Perry County, which is as near no place as anybody's ever seen. We came back down to Wooten and then drove toward Hyden, hunting the little post office of Asher, Kentucky, A-S-H-E-R, near which we were to find the cabin of John Schell, capital S-C-H-E-L-L, right here you want to go back on the expressways to, John Schell, who was a gunsmith, reputedly living to 131 years, theoretically being the oldest recorded age of any person in the history of the United States. We found that this was on Greasy Creek, so we traveled down the middle fork of the Kentucky River to the mouth of Greasy Creek and went 15 to 18 miles up Greasy Creek to locate the cabin in which Mr. Schell lived. This property is now owned by Mr. and Mrs. Caldwell, who were written up in the November 71 National Geographic. Stu, slow down, you got a November 71 National Geographic, an article on Appalachia. And the old man's hobby is catching rattlesnakes. This was written up, and he's the woman who's pictured crossing a walk log across the Middle Fork River. We enjoyed seeing this old cabin. Found out these people have children, grandchildren, going to Anvil Institute right near where Uncle Tom and Aunt May live, where their children went to school. We saw the blacksmith shop, which Mr. Caldwell has under a rock house cliff across the creek from this old cabin. We came back down, incidentally, seeing a wildcat in a cage on one of his pieces of property. This wildcat, apparently bothering the chickens, was trapped. He tells us that there are a lot of heavy, a lot of the big animals like the cats in that area. Following this, we drove back into Hyden, Manchester, to Pond Creek, where we let Uncle Tom and Aunt May off, and Stu and I are now heading for Lexington. This tape is probably intended to be saved because Uncle Tom is 80 or 81 years old, and Aunt May is in her late 70s, and we made this series of tapes of conversation in the automobile just sort of for record.